Welcome, and thank you for joining me for this review of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, in which the foundations are laid for kingship in Israel. The first eight prakim of the Sefer detail the life of Shmuel HaNavi, from before his birth to his exemplary leadership of the Jewish people. In Perek Aleph, we met the family of Elkanah, focusing on his beloved but childless wife Chana, who upon the family's annual pilgrimage to the Mishkan in Shiloh was prompted to offer her heartfelt tefillah for a child, pouring out her heart to Hashem in whispered prayer, which has become the model for tefillah until today. The child born in consequence of her prayer was named Shmuel and was dedicated to the service of Hashem for life. Chana's liturgical poem, offered in chapter 2, introduces themes that resonate throughout the Sefer, Hashgachat Hashem, Hashem's divine providence, and Malchut, kingship, which her son will inaugurate and which will continue with the coming of Mashiach at the end of days. In Perek Bet, we learned of the sins of the sons of Eli, the Kohen who was Shmuel's mentor, which would lead to the capture of the Aron by the Plishtim and the destruction of Shiloh, the site of the Mishkan since the entry into the land under Yehoshua. Perek Gimel details the initiation of Shmuel as a prophet, hearing the voice of Hashem for the very first time as a young boy. We saw the contrast between Shmuel and the sons of Eli, his righteousness and spiritual commitment contrasted with their selfishness and sinful behavior. Perek Dalet details the tragic battle between the Plishtim and Israel, in which Israel suffered a humiliating defeat. The sons of Eli were killed and the Aron taken captive by the Plishtim, leading to the death of Eli from shock when he heard of the capture of the Aron. Perek Hay describes the miraculous events surrounding the Aron in captivity, in which the Plishtim and their God suffered the consequences of having disrespected the Aron of Hashem. Having determined that they had no option but to return the Aron to Israel, Perek Vav describes the miraculous journey of the Aron, accompanied by the gifts of the Plishtim, symbolizing their recognition of divine judgment. The Aron arrived in Beit Shemesh, where the people received it with light-hearted joy and were punished for their irreverence. And in the beginning of Perek Zayin, the Aron was finally brought to Kiryat Ye'arim, where it would remain until David HaMelech would bring it up to Yerushalayim in Sefer Shmuel Bet. Perek Zayin describes Shmuel's career as a shofet, judge of Am Yisrael. By this time, under Shmuel's leadership, the people were enjoying a spiritual revival, engaged in sincere tshuva, repentance, having disposed of all traces of the idolatry that had crept into their possession during the chaotic times of the judges, and recommitted to the loyal and exclusive service of Hashem. Shmuel gathered the people at Mitzpah for the purpose of prayer and rededication. The Plishtim, having interpreted the gathering at Mitzpah as a threat, attacked Yisrael and were soundly defeated, ushering in a period of peace and tranquility under Shmuel's leadership. It became Shmuel's custom to travel throughout the land to judge and teach the people, and he was much beloved. Unfortunately, his sons did not follow in his footsteps, and in Perek Chet, the people approached Shmuel and requested a king who would lead them in the manner of other nations. Shmuel was displeased by this request, but Hashem told him not to take it personally, that in effect, it was his own divine rule that the people were rejecting, not Shmuel himself. Shmuel described for the people various rights of the king that would allow him to place demands upon them, but they were not dissuaded, and in accordance with the word of Hashem, Shmuel agreed to appoint a king whom Hashem would designate. The second unit of the Sefer, from Perek Tet through Yudalit, details the anointment of Shaul and his establishment of the foundations of Jewish kingship. We met Shaul as an engaging young man searching for his father's lost donkeys, and just as he was about to despair, he encountered Shmuel instead, through a series of divinely directed events. Shmuel accorded Shaul great honor, hinting at things to come, and spent the entire night teaching and prophesying with Shaul, setting the foundation for his relationship as mentor to the king. In the morning, Shmuel privately anointed Shaul from a flask of oil and sent him on his way, reassuring him that the donkeys had since been found. Shmuel gave Shaul three signs to confirm the change in his status, and all three were realized along his journey home, most notably that Shaul himself joined a band of young prophets and began prophesying, causing astonishment among those who witnessed this, who pronounced in wonderment, "Hagam Shaul Banviim? Is Shaul too among the prophets?" which became an aphorism in Israel. Shmuel called for another gathering of the people at Mitzpah, in which he presented a skilled oratorical rebuke of the people, who had been dissatisfied with his divinely inspired leadership and requested a king instead. Shmuel conducted a lottery before the people so that they would see that the king was Hashem's choice, and the lottery fell upon Shaul, who was nowhere to be found, for he was hiding among the baggage, Nechba el Hakelim. He was brought forth, and he towered head and shoulders above the people, Mishichmo v'mala gavoa mikol ha'am, prompting Shmuel to exclaim, "Do you see the one whom Hashem has chosen? There is none like him in all of Israel." The people cheered and shouted, "Yechi ha'melech, long live the king." Following the gathering at Mitzpah, Shmuel, Shaul, and the people all returned to their own homes. Acceptance of Shaul as king was not universal. There was a group of people who mocked Shaul, but he ignored them and did not insist that they honor him as king, for which he is criticized by Chazal, who insist that a king may not forego the honor due his position. Shaul faced the first international challenge to his kingship when Nachash, king of Ammon, threatened the people of Yavesh Gilad, and Shaul immediately came to their aid, galvanizing the entire nation and defeating Nachash. This prompted a further assembly of the nation in Gilgal to renew the coronation of Shaul now that he's accepted by all of the people as a strong leader. In Perek Yud Bet, at the assembly in Gilgal, the people bore testimony to the selfless commitment of Shmuel, who is considered in the company of Moshe and Aaron as one of the all-time great leaders of Israel. Shmuel promised the people that as long as they do the will of Hashem, they and their king would be successful, and that he will continue to pray for their welfare. The next two prakim detail the courageous leadership of Shaul and the bravery and strategic thinking of his son Yonatan, who led the people in battle against the Plishtim. However, there is a serious breach on Shaul's part. Shmuel had commanded Shaul to gather the people and wait for his arrival on the seventh day, and only then to offer sacrifices to Hashem before going out to war. Shaul, under pressure of the approaching army of the Plishtim and the defection of many of his troops, reasoned that Shmuel had been delayed and brought the olah offering in advance of his arrival. When Shmuel did arrive, he rebuked Shaul harshly, for he had failed the first test of his leadership, demonstrating a lack of faith and a lack of leadership, in consequence of which his dynasty would not last. Yonatan, the son of Shaul, devised a strategy for a sneak attack on the Plishti forces, and he and his arms bearer successfully breached their defenses. There was an incident involving Yonatan unknowingly defying his father's decree of a fast until the Plishtim had been defeated, but he was saved from punishment by the appeal of the people. Shaul emerged victorious against the Plishtim and enjoyed further victories against the enemies surrounding Israel, establishing a firm hold on the monarchy. His family grew and prospered, and Shaul was respected by the people and gained a reputation as a strong and courageous leader. Perek Tetvav inaugurates a new unit in which Shaul sins and is punished with the loss of his kingship, and we are introduced to the next king of Israel, the young shepherd who will solidify the kingship. In this chapter, Shaul faced his nemesis, Amalek, whom he is commanded by Hashem through Shmuel to completely eradicate. Shaul defeated them in battle, but took pity on their king, Agag, and on the choice sheep and cattle at the behest of the people. When Shmuel came to rebuke Shaul the next morning, it took Shaul a while to admit to his sin, first proclaiming that he had indeed fulfilled Hashem's command, and then making the excuse that he was overpowered by the will of the people. Shmuel harshly rebuked him for this concession, saying, "Halo im katonata be'inecha, rosh shibtei Yisraelata. Even if you consider yourself to be unworthy, Hashem has designated you to lead, and it's your job to live up to Hashem's expectations." Only when Shmuel relayed Hashem's judgment upon Shaul, accompanied by the symbolic tearing of a garment, proclaiming that the kingship will be torn from him and given to his peer who is better than he, does Shaul express remorse. But by then, it was too late. Shmuel, bitterly disappointed in his protege, ceremoniously killed Agag and left Shaul, and the two never again interacted until after Shmuel's death. In the following perek, Perek Tet Zayin, Hashem instructed Shmuel to stop mourning over Shaul and go anoint a new king from among the sons of Yishai of Beit Lechem. Yishai had 8 sons and first paraded the 7 oldest before Shmuel, who initially thought that the eldest, Eliav, was suited to the kingship, for he looked the part. But Hashem taught him that Ha'adam yir'ela einayim, v'Hashem yir'ela livav. Man judges by externals, but Hashem sees through to the heart, and Eliav is not suited to the kingship, for he is quick to anger. The next six sons were similarly rejected, and when Shmuel asked, "Are there not any more?" David was summoned from the pasture where he had been guarding the sheep. David was anointed king with the Shemen HaMishcha, the special anointing oil, and the Ruach Hashem, the divine spirit that had previously rested upon Shaul, now came to rest upon David. Shaul, divested of the divine spirit, began to be distressed by a Ruach Ra'ah, an evil spirit, that caused him to fall into a state of melancholy. His servant suggested finding a musician whose music would soothe his agitated spirit, and David was brought to the palace to play for the king, who became very fond of him. Perek Yud Zayin, in which the epic battle between David and Goliath takes place, marks a significant turning point in the Sefer. It is through this contest that Shaul became suspicious that David may in fact be the future king, the threat to his dynasty. Goliath had been mocking the Jewish army on a daily basis for 40 days when David showed up at the battle site after having returned home for a spell to care for his father's sheep, famously declaring that the Jewish people go to war relying not on weaponry, but on Hashem alone. David was unfazed by Goliath's impressive display of armor and weaponry and felled him with his slingshot. While the people were thrilled with David's victory over the Plishti giant who had been humiliating them and pursued the Plishti army until they were back within their own borders, Shaul became agitated and confused. Despite Shaul's newfound suspicions of David, two of his children, Yonatan and Michal, felt no such compunctions. Yonatan was drawn to David as a kindred spirit, a fearless warrior who quickly strategizes and springs to action. Michal, too, expressed her love for David, and while David saw marriage with her as a possible means to realizing his destiny as king, Shaul saw the marriage as an opportunity to put David's life in danger and demanded evidence of his having killed 100 of the uncircumcised Plishtim as her dowry. David exceeded this already excessive demand and killed 200, earning Michal's hand in marriage. Her elder sister, Merav, who may or may not have been promised to David as a reward for killing Goliath, had been given away to someone else. David's reputation as a skilled and brave warrior continued to grow among the people, yet he continued to play music for the king as needed. On one of these occasions, as David was concentrating on his playing, Shaul was handling his spear and threw it at David, nearly pinning him to the wall, but pretended it was an accident. When this happened a second time, David recognized that Shaul was indeed trying to kill him and ran away, barely escaping with his life. Having run from the king's presence, David now became a fugitive, for Shaul could claim that David had rebelled against him. Indeed, Shaul sent soldiers to surround David's home, but with Michal's help, he was able to escape through a back window. David and Yonatan met secretly to discuss the situation, and Yonatan had a hard time digesting that his father really intended to kill David. The two devised a strategic plan, which is, of course, their shared strength, in which David would absent himself from the festive Rosh Chodesh feast, and Shaul's reaction would reveal his true intentions. When Shaul erupted in anger at David's absence, Yonatan knew for certain that he had irrevocably turned against David and warned David of his father's determined pursuit. The two men made and reinforced a covenant never to harm one another, including their descendants, and Yonatan affirmed his conviction that David was the rightful heir to the throne. The parting of the two friends closes this unit of the Sefer, and in Perek Chaf Aleph, chapter 21, we begin a new unit, describing David's wanderings while on the run from Shaul. David's first stop was the city of Nov, a city of priests to which the Mishkan had been relocated following the destruction of Shiloh. David allowed the Kohen Achimelech to think that he was on a mission from the king, and upon his request, David was supplied with bread and Goliath's sword. This exchange was witnessed by Shaul's loyal advisor, Doeg HaEdomi, of whom we'll hear more later. David left Nov and sought refuge with Achish, king of Gat, in the land of the Plishtim. But he was recognized by some servants of Achish and had to feign madness to escape with his life. From there, he fled to Adullam in the southern region of Yehuda. In Adullam, David acquired a retinue of 400 followers who, for one reason or another, were embittered or discontent. Meanwhile, Shaul accused his own followers of disloyalty for not informing him of David's whereabouts, whereupon Doeg HaEdomi stepped forward and reported that David had received supplies from the Kohanim at Nov. Shaul's disproportionate response was to massacre all the inhabitants of Nov and destroy the city, leaving only one survivor, Eviatar, son of the Kohen Gadol, who escaped with the Urim V'Tumim and joined David and his supporters. In Perek Chaf Gimel, David heard that, given Shaul's inattention, the Plishtim were once again conducting raids against cities in Yehuda and saved the city of Keilah from the Plishtim. Shaul heard of this and intensified his pursuit, and David was forced to flee to the wilderness lest the people of Keilah hand him over to Shaul in order to save themselves. Hiding in the wilderness of Ziph, he was informed upon by the Ziphites and faced off with Shaul's forces, was saved just in time by the arrival of a messenger informing Shaul of yet another incursion by the Plishtim, and he was forced to go off and fight. David now fled to the wilderness of En Gedi, where Shaul again sought him out as soon as he had finished his battle with the Plishtim. In Perek Chaf Dalet, Shaul entered a cave to relieve himself, not knowing that David and his men were hiding in that very cave. David's men felt that Hashem had delivered Shaul into their hands and wanted to kill him, but David was not certain. He grabbed a corner of Shaul's coat and cut it off, and was immediately smitten with guilt for having dishonored the king. He knew that it would be wrong for him to kill Shaul, and expressed his faith that Hashem would take care of him at the right time. When Shaul left the cave, David emerged holding the piece of his coat that he had cut off, proving to Shaul that he had had the opportunity to kill him but didn't, and would never cause him harm. Thus Shaul's pursuit of him was pointless. Shaul was overcome with remorse, but David knew that he would be easily swayed by his advisors, such as Doeg, and continued to hide his whereabouts from Shaul. In the beginning of Perek Chaf Hei, we are informed of the death of Shmuel, who was mourned by all of Israel. Following this, David experienced another life-changing encounter, as he requested supplies from a fellow member of his tribe, Nabal, who was very wealthy, but whose character was like his name, Kishmo Kenhu, Nabal Shmo Univala Imo. He is a base and depraved character. He refused to send supplies to David, and David was about to avenge his honor when he was prevented from acting hastily by Nabal's wife, Abigail, who was kind, intelligent, and a prophetess to boot. David was so impressed by her impassioned and intelligent argument that when Nabal died 10 days later, David sent for Abigail and took her as his wife. Hearing of this, Shaul gave Michal to another man, Palti ben Laish. In Perek Chaf Vav, we learned of a second encounter between Shaul and David, in which David again had an opportunity to kill Shaul and proved his own more exalted character. The Ziphim had once again informed Shaul of David's whereabouts, and Shaul set out to pursue him. David came upon his encampment and saw that Shaul and the men surrounding him had fallen into a deep sleep. David's nephew and comrade in arms, Avishai, wanted to kill Shaul immediately, but David restrained him and merely took Shaul's spear and water canteen and retreated to a safe distance. He called out to Avner, Shaul's general, reproving him for leaving the king unguarded, and displayed the spear and water canteen as evidence that once again he could have killed Shaul but didn't, and Shaul again expressed his regret. But this encounter is less emotional than the first one, and David more than ever became convinced that he was not safe from Shaul anywhere in Israel. In Perek Chaf Zayin, David once again escaped to Gat and sought refuge with Achish. This time he's granted refuge, and the city of Tziklag was given to David and his men, now numbering 600, and their families. David conducted raids on southern cities that had been plaguing the people of Yehuda and brought the spoils to Achish, who thought that they came from Judean cities. Eventually, the Plishtim amassed to go out to war against Israel, and David joined the encampment of Achish, but was rejected by the other Plishti generals. Here we begin the last unit of the Sefer, Prakim Kafchet through Lamed Aleph, in which Shaul meets his tragic end. The Prakim shift back and forth between David and Shaul, much in the manner that the scene had shifted between Shmuel and the sons of Eli in the beginning of the Sefer, highlighting the righteousness of one in contrast to the behavior of the other. While the Plishtim were amassing their troops, Shaul was seized by panic and was not able to achieve divine instruction as to how to respond to their threat. So he adopted extreme measures and sought out a medium to raise Shmuel from the dead, although he himself had been responsible for abolishing such forbidden practices, which had begun to proliferate after Shmuel's death. Shmuel informed him that he and his sons would die in battle against the Plishtim, and if he would accept this divine judgment, his death would atone for his sins. Meanwhile, upon his return to Tziklag, David and his men found that the city had been burned to the ground by Amalek, and the women and children taken hostage. Miraculously, David was able to rescue all the hostages and destroy the Amalekite attackers. While David was defeating the Amalekites, Shaul bravely faced the Plishtim at Har Gilboa, where the nation suffered defeat, and Shaul and his sons were killed. The Plishtim displayed the bodies of Shaul and his sons in triumph, and when they heard of this humiliation, the people of Yavesh Gilad, whom Shaul had defended at the outset of his kingship, risked their lives to retrieve the bodies and bring them to proper Jewish burial. Thus, our Sefer draws to a close. The narrative will be resumed in the first chapter of Sefer Shmuel Bet. Thank you so much for accompanying me on this journey of study and reflection. May our learning be a zchut for our soldiers and the swift return of all of our captives, and best wishes for a Chag Kasher v'Sameach.